Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word tonight is the scripture I just read for you a moment ago, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 12. And we continue tonight on our sermon series, The Collects, or the Appointed Prayers of the Season of Lent. And so tonight we look at the appointed prayer for this coming Sunday, Laetare Sunday in the Latin, the appointed prayer for this Sunday. And I would have you take a look at that in your worship bulletin, if you would. Turn to that on the back side. And would you pray together with me the words of that collect? We pray together. Grant, we ask you, Almighty God, that we who for our sin do certainly deserve to be punished, by the comfort of your grace, may mercifully be relieved. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, there is no excuse for sin. There's no excuse for sin. God's holy word, the Bible, is abundantly clear about that. And even if it wasn't, we would still have Psalm 51, which would make it clear to us. Verse 4. Lord, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. There is no excuse for sin. And that should have been made clear to us at the very beginning of God's holy word. If you started reading your Bible at the beginning, it wouldn't be very long before you came to a point where you found people making excuses. Adam ate from the fruit of the tree, and what did he say? Thank you. My wife. And then what did he say? You. You gave me my wife. You, Lord, are to blame for me eating from the fruit of the tree. And then Eve stepped to the plate, and what did she say? The serpent deceived me, and I ate. She blamed the snake for it. And the snake eventually didn't say a word, just slithered off into the bushes, and that was the end of that. They were all cast out of paradise because there is no excuse for sin. Tonight's lesson, Psalm 51, is a psalm that King David composed, and we'd use the word composed because it's a piece of music. He composed it after his affair with Bathsheba. Actually, more than an affair, there were all sorts of things that went on. There was deception, and there was trickery, and there was fraud, and there was conspiracy, and there was abuse of power, and there was murder. And that's just David's half of the affair. What about Bathsheba's half? God's word is very interesting in this, in that it tells us that Bathsheba was very beautiful. And I would ask you tonight, do you think that she didn't know that? She didn't know it? The Bible tells us also that she was bathing. Now, of course, she couldn't be seen from the street, but there was a direct line of sight from the palace roof where David had a custom of going back and forth in the evening, perhaps while he didn't have anything to do. And there was a direct line of sight to where she was bathing. Do you think that she didn't know that? Her husband was off at the wars. Do you think she didn't know that? And her husband, yes, let's admit it, Uriah the Hittite was a good man and a kind man and a moral man. But maybe Bathsheba could become the wife of the king. Is it possible that that thought crossed her mind, maybe more than once? Because that's eventually what happened. What was her part in all of this? Now, you are going to say, are we going to make excuses for David for what he did? And we cannot do that because there is no excuse for sin. Are we going to say, well, David has mitigating circumstances because Bathsheba was possibly leading him on? Can we say that? No, because there are no excuses for sin. Another person's sin does not excuse your sin. Now, what we're saying tonight is, I would say simply, grow up. What kind of world do you think we live in? What do you think human beings are made of? Even two of them who claim to be believers in the Lord, like David and Bathsheba. I would say to you this evening, were you born yesterday? Are you going to think like an adolescent, like so much of what we hear in the world today, that sin is in the world? Oh, most certainly, and I can tell you where it is. It's in this group of people, but not in that group of people. It's in this racial group of people, but not in that racial group of people. It's in this gender over here, but not in that gender. It's in this tax bracket, but not that tax bracket. That is the thinking of a child. A childish way of thinking that we hear so much in our world today. And not only is it childish, but if that's the way that you see things, then I would say to you, good luck at being a Christian, because it is not going to happen. You will never get there. Now, you might spout the holy words, and you might sing the beautiful hymn, and you might adopt a humble manner of living your life. But what you are going to do if you look at things that way is always put yourself in one group. Where can you be found? You'll be found in the good group, the moral group, the right group, the correct group, the righteous group. And if our Lord Jesus' parable that he told is any indication, there is a whole section of hell that is reserved for people who pray, I thank thee, God, I'm not like other people. Standing room only. And why is that? There's standing room only in that part of hell because, let's be honest, you are very much like other people, very much like other men, very much like other women. God's word is clear about that. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? Some, part of them, that group as opposed to this group? No, all have sinned. Well, before you know it, it's going to be April 15th. What does it make you think of? Don't say it's my birthday. April 15th, what do you think of? Taxes. And when you think of, matter of fact, anybody here getting ready for that? You've already gone to your accountant? Okay. Taxes. And it might put you in mind of something Benjamin Franklin said, very famous statement. He said, there are but two certainties in this life, and they are death and taxes. Well, God's word begs to differ with that. It says, no, there's not just two certainties, there's four certainties. There's death, and there's taxes, and then number three, there is sin. Everything we've just been talking about up to this point, there is sin. That is a certainty. If you have a human being standing in front of you, you have sin. If you're looking in the mirror, you have sin. It's yours, it's theirs. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Number three. So what's number four? What's the fourth certainty? Well, tonight we can let our collect, our appointed prayer for this coming Sunday, help us out. You can follow along if you want, but it says this. It says, grant, we ask you, Almighty God, that we who for our sins do certainly deserve to be punished, that's number three there, that by the comfort of your grace we may mercifully be relieved. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Number one, death. Number two, taxes. Number three, sin. And number four, the fourth certainty, God's grace, God's pardon in Jesus. And so the verse, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but are justified freely by his grace, which is in Christ Jesus. And so you can look at David and Bathsheba and their affair, and you can say, what an ugly mess, a real low point in the Bible. But then if you turn the page, one way or the other, doesn't matter, you're going to find another low point in the Bible. You're going to find one after another after another. Anytime you're talking about human beings, men or women, whatever group they are, you're going to find low points. You're going to find your sin. You're going to find my sin. And yet, out of all that mess, there came a promise, and there came words that have been treasured by Christian people ever since that time. The words of King David in Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy. Let me hear gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. And then come the words that many of us know by heart because we've sung them in church year after year after year. How does it go? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. The joy of your salvation. Joy. Rejoice. That's actually what laetare means. It's a command. It says rejoice. That's what it means in the Latin language. Rejoice. It's this coming Sunday in the season of Lent. Rejoice in the Lord. But you realize, of course, that you can't rejoice if you're looking at other people's sin. You may take a malicious delight in it, but that's not the same as joy. And you cannot rejoice if you're looking in the mirror because, quote, I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against you, Lord, only you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But you can rejoice when you look at the cross, because there you have the fourth certainty. Death, taxes, sin, but also what? God's grace. The pardon that you have in the Lord Jesus. And that's what we pray for. Grant, we ask you, Almighty God, that we who for our sin do certainly deserve to be punished, may by the comfort of your grace mercifully be relieved. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.